What it do, what it do, what it do. Yes. Oh my God. I totally miss saying that. I'm back, but not back quite yet. Season 2 is brewing. Domestic Violence Awareness Month is approaching. I recorded an episode, unreleased, unedited, candid to its core, on Mother's Day. For some reason, I actually didn't let it go. I didn't edit it. I didn't do anything to it at all. I didn't complete it. I held on to it and I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do with it. And voila, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So what I'm going to do is drop this little piece, unedited, candid, make it do what it do, you know, and hope that it can shine some light for someone, you know? It's not about blame. When you touch on domestic violence, you got to understand that it's a very sensitive subject. You have to be open to it, however. You have to be willing to change. You have to want savior. Here we go. I ain't about preaching because season 2 is brewing. Stay tuned. Follow Coffee with Queen on Facebook. We will be doing a 31-day challenge to raise some awareness for domestic violence. And I hope you're living a dope life. Holla at your girl. In essence, my mother assumed she was doing the right thing by staying, and I'm pretty certain that's the way that a lot of victims feel when they're in a situation and children are involved, that it's best to stay for the children. It's not. I'm that child that my mother stayed for. Hear me out. I became determined to not be disrespected or mistreated by a male figure by any means. I became a rebel. I started to rebel against all types of authority figures in school, in my relationships. If you were a male figure and you wanted to imply any form of authority to me, it would not fly. I became destructive because I felt the only way to deal with standing up and being taken serious as a woman is to be combative with every man I encountered. I felt like I was doing due diligence from my mother. I was doing what she couldn't do back then. And then I got into relationships. And when things wouldn't go my way, I started to use my hands. That's not something that I'm proud of. But I did. I was blessed not to be in a situation with a male that was weak enough to fight me back. But that didn't justify my actions. I became the very person that my father was. But in my defense, I was standing up for my mother and for every other victim of domestic violence. I was a new type. I was a new breed. I had children that were watching me. Yes. Absolutely. I speak from experiences. I wasn't only destroying me as my mother and my father did. I was destroying my children. Because yes, I wasn't getting beat, but I was highly aggressive in my situations. But I stayed. A generational curse. Yeah, it may have been reversed. This is Wacky Wednesday, but it didn't benefit anyone in the situation. And when I actually opened up this episode, I said, but for how long does it take you to understand that you have to get away? It wasn't until the moment that I realized I became my father that I knew I had to take some time to myself and get away. I became the aggressor. Yes, I may not have ended up like my mother and became a victim of domestic violence. But because my mother stayed in that situation and I witnessed it, I developed an unhealthy defense for it. And it destroyed me throughout life. Domestic violence was no longer only her problem. It was everyone's problem who was witnessing it. I learned some damaging characteristic traits because my mother stayed. Think about it. Think about it. Because remember that understanding I told you that I'm blessed with, how I see both sides of the equations, whether good, bad, or indifferent. I wasn't only the aggressor in the equation. I didn't only learn to become combative. I was also the victim as well. Because yes, I may not have been with people that physically put their hands on me, but I became aggressive because I was being emotionally abused. And I didn't realize it at that time because I was protecting myself with my hands. That's not the way to go. That's not the way to be. I had to change me. I had to save the little people that look up to me. I had to leave. Think about it. Staying doesn't only affect the people involved. Staying affects the people that actually witness it. Well, when reality kicked in, I realized I was my father. I started to understand the aggressors. For a long time, I thought my father was a monster. But then I realized he saw his father do the same thing to my grandmother. The secrets families don't want to talk about. But in essence, they create monsters. And people develop habits that they think are okay. If something doesn't go your way, you react. You no longer think about the person that you're affecting. You become selfish and you only think about yourself. Does that mean you don't love that individual? You don't know what love is. So in your eyes, you may do love that person. That doesn't mean that it's not true in your eyes. But your behaviors are reflecting something different. Once again, we're not excusing any behaviors. We're accepting accountability. It is what it is. Think about it. A person that's programmed to react a certain type of way, they're not going to understand your programming just because you say it a certain type of way or you tell them it should be a certain type of way. They have to experience it. If you're dealing with somebody that is a little overly aggressive and to you it may seem like it's a red flag, believe that it's a red flag. They don't have the ability to change. Not within themselves. It's going to take additional help from something or someone that understands, a divine being, to initiate something within that person to tell them that they are operating wrong. That's the only way they're going to change. There is nothing that you can do to make that person change. It is nothing within you strong enough to inflict change of another being. It has to come from within. The aggressors, they're doing no wrong. But they know it's wrong. Wacky Wednesday, right? Just hear me out. All their life they had to fight, whether directly or indirectly. So you tell them you're about to leave and they can't handle that. They don't know how to cope. That pain is strong enough to kill you. Believe it. But it's not your power to try to change that or suppress it. The only thing that you do is save you. When you see the red flags, you go. You don't stay and wait to see if it's going to change. Because you remember, you don't have the power to do that changing. You don't allow the person the ability to find a crutch in you. Don't become the enabler. Realize that people are wired differently and it has nothing to do with you. A lot of times when I would lash out, it was simply because I felt misunderstood and I felt violated. I didn't know at that time in my life that I didn't have to react that way. I didn't know at that time in my life that the key was not beating somebody into submission. That took maturation. I had to care about myself and my children enough to want to change that. And I'm glad and blessed that I did early on in my life to save them. But no one had the power to change that but me. There's no healthy out of a domestic violence situation. The only way out is death. So save yourself the cost of funeral arrangements and the cost of the emotional turmoil that it's going to cause on your family members by staying. You're not saving anyone. That person isn't going to love you enough to change because they don't realize the love they're capable of within themselves. Trust me. You're going to get over it. You're going to get through it, and you're going to find somebody worthy of you. It's worth it. You are. Believe it. And if you're listening and you find yourself a little overly aggressive, it's only so long that you can go about your life acting and behaving a certain type of way and excusing it or blaming other people. You have to accept accountability and realize that, yeah, hurt people hurt people. It's okay that you were hurt, but it's not okay to stay that way. Seek help. If you don't know the answers, find someone that you trust. If there's no one that you trust, get on the internet. Care enough about yourself to research why you behave that way. And you may just bump into somebody along your journey who experiences the same things that you do. And they may be willing to help you. It doesn't have to be darkness. And every time you hear no, it's not the end of the world. Everyone that tells you no doesn't necessarily mean they don't love you. Rejection isn't always a bad thing. If it's for you, it's going to come freely and you're not going to have to force it. Trust me, you're deserving of it too. But you don't rob other people of whatever it is that they have within them that brings them joy to find yours. That's the key to everything. And it starts within you. You're worth it too. We all are. If you've never experienced it or ever knew anyone that has, believe that it's real. It happens. And if you do know someone that's going through it and you see the red flags, act. There is no changing. Both people in the equation are blind temporarily. Yes, you are your brother's and your sister's keeper. Be that savior. Intervene. I did an episode of people having fear to react, but that fear is keeping us stagnant. It just may not go as negatively as you may think, but react. Try something differently. You may just save a life. I try not to get too personal with my stories. I really do. But sometimes that's all you can really do. I speak from experiences. That's how you guys know it's true. It's been Coffee with Queen. Until then, holla at you. Wait one moment. If you're new, subscribe, rate, like, review, guys. Yes. And don't forget to check us out on Coffee with Queen on Facebook. Yes, that's where you can continue the discussion. And reach out to Queen and let us know. Let me know what you think. Holla at you, girl. For real this time. Outie.